Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? It is Friday. Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR, and we have a lot of stuff to get into today. The Suns have hired a head coach. Did they outduel the Lakers? We're going to talk about that. Special guest today coming on, Keith Pompey from the Sixers. Beat writer for the Philly Inquirer and Philly.com. That's my guy. He definitely knows what he's talking about. So we're going to get his impact, on what he thinks of Monty Williams becoming the new head coach of the Suns. Boylan, did you ask for more? Jimmy Boylan? Anyway, you got him. We'll talk about that as well. The Lakers having a hard time finding a coach. We'll talk about that. And I'm getting really tired of everyone in the media. I hate when I say that because I am the media as well. Talking about, oh, the Dodgers, they can do this. Oh, look at what San Diego's done. They've surprised a lot of people by being this good. Oh, look at Philly. Yada, 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 yada. The Cubs, we know they're going to come back. Oh, the evil empire. Dun, 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 dun. What? Look at what they're doing with all their injuries. Well, you know what? The hell with all that. Look at what the Diamondbacks are doing. With the third best record. Excuse me. Yes, with the third best record in the National League. Let's look at that. And we're going to talk about that as well. Like I said, this is the Cave Show. It is Friday. 10 minutes after the hour, we have Keith Pompey joining us. Beat writer for the Philly Inquirer and Philly.com. He's going to talk to us today. This is the Cave Show of PLR, brought to you by the one and only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Almost One Channel Heights. Get in there, let them know PLR sent you. They will take 10% off your cigar purchase. Maduro's is now serving beer and wine as well. So get in there, become a club member, get a lock of the bags directly up to a humidor. Never worry about your sticks going badly. Grab one, sit down, relax, watch the mini televisions. And like I said, let them know that PLR from the Cave Show sent you 10% off of your cigar purchase. There are some restrictions, very few check when you purchase your cigar. Call in number 917-889-7828. 917-889-7828. All calls made via the Kevy Lackey Law Line. I'm going to open the phone lines up here for about 7-8 minutes or so until Keith calls in. And then we'll reopen them up again after the call. Do have a guest on hold. Thank you for waiting. You are on the Cave Show with PLR. To whom do I have the privilege of speaking to?
Hey, Paul. It's Lou once again.
Lou, what up, buddy? How are you for the weekend?
Yeah. Well, and of course, the Derby is tomorrow, so that's a start right there.
It is, and Lou, you know what? I'm going to plead ignorance on this one because I couldn't even tell you, like, who's running.
Right.
I couldn't tell you anything. I apologize in advance.
Well, the favorite is out, though, because he came down with an illness of some sort and had to be scratched. So that's a shame on that.
That is a shame.
Yeah.
That is a shame.
All right, now, so the Suns get the new coach, but given the track record of what they've had in the past 7-8 years, isn't very promising. So I don't even know if it's going to last like 5 years for him.
Okay,
for
so here's where here's where I think the differences are. And I'm a big fan of James Jones and what he's doing. And I think his vision is the vision that's starting to take place with the team. And this is no ill will towards Brian McDonough. He was always open, always had an opportunity to speak to him when I needed to. So this is no ill will towards him. But James Jones has a better skill set in dealing with people, building relationships. And you could tell that by some things that he's done too. This is the first coach the Suns hired that's been a coach. They actually opened up the pocketbooks because Fornacek, like Hunter had never coached when he filled in for, you know, as an interim. Then you go to Hornacek, never coached. Then you go to Earl, had never coached. Then you take an interim table on Triano, who had coached in Toronto, he knew he wasn't getting a job. Then you go to your coach. This is the first time in a long time this comes out. Had experience, who actually built a relationship. So I think hires can be a lot different than some of what we've seen before.
Yeah, but I mean, because the Suns, you know, over the years have been, you know, getting worse. And I don't know if Monty Williams is going to be the answer. I mean, a five-year deal, great, but, you know, still, given, like I said, the track record of this team, I don't know if it's going to hold up that long.
But you never know. And here's the thing, like I've been saying all along, I was a person that said you can't fire Igor because it's going to be a tough job to fill. Well, you know what? James Jones proved me 100% wrong, because his relationships and what he could offer and the young talent on his team was attractive to Monty. And let's be honest, if you just look at roster and talent and health and direction, this is a better job than some of the other jobs that we know he was, you know, in the hunt for. Like the Lakers. Lakers have LeBron, but then you have Brandon coming off an injury. You have Lonzo Ball, who's been injured every year since he's been in the NBA. And you have Kyle Kuzma, who's a stud. And you have LeBron James, who I think I'm the only person that is saying it around the anything. He's an aging superstar. And are you really sure you're going to get four more years out of him? So, or three more years out of him? So, I don't know. I think this is a good job. I think he's the right man for this job.
All right. Well, I'll wait and see what happens. Now, I heard something yesterday, and I think you might be familiar with this. Well, they're trying to change the rules in college football again for the overtime, but this rule I think is going to be ridiculous, even though I probably won't get there much. He's saying, like, if a game should reach the fifth overtime, which is very, very rare to begin with, instead of doing it from what they've been doing with the 25, they would do alternate conversions from the two. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I saw
that. That's ridiculous.
They're going to go 2-point conversions until someone fails. Well, I don't even just think it's that. What they're trying to do is get people off the field without getting hurt. At that point, honestly, I guess I want to see a bunch of games get to that point before we realize that it's an issue. What I think is really dumb is if you really don't want players to get hurt, don't run all the overtimes over and over. Come up with something that's different. Hell, at this point, if you're going to start lining them up at the two and you're saying their safety, why don't we just have a field goal kickoff? Start at the 10 and keep backing up 5 yards until someone misses. I mean, if that's what you really want to do, if that's the premise that you're going to use, that you don't want players to get hurt, let's just do that.
Ridiculous.
So, I don't know. I'm having a hard time with football right now because I'm trying to change my mentality from that old mentality to – I understand, but at the same time, the NCAA is about to allow gambling on their game,
right?
Like officially. So what you're telling me is you want to keep all the money, but allegedly you don't want players to get hurt. You know you're going to get some lawsuits down the line for player concussions, and you're opening up for gambling. You still don't want to pay players, and then you keep changing these rules all over and tweaking it. The NCAA is full of crap, and I've been saying it forever. It's nothing more than a mob. It's the mafia. They control everything. They're one big family.
True.
You don't get in. You don't beat it. If you try to cross the family, they cross you back even harder. So it's just the way it is.
Yeah, but still, it doesn't, you know, help much.
It doesn't. But like I said, you know, they're making money, so who cares? But
yeah, but listen, I'm gonna bring this up on my show too. So
But listen, my friend, I gotta jump. I have my guest on the
right. On
the line. Have a good weekend. We'll see what happens this weekend, and hopefully you give a call in on Monday.
I will. Thanks a lot, Paul.
All right, Lou. Thanks, buddy. Good friend of the program, Lou. Thanks for calling in as usual. On the line right now, though, I got my man here, my main man, Keith Pompey, Sixers beat writer for the Philly Inquirer, philly.com. What's up, brother? How you feeling today?
I'm doing well. How you been, man?
Oh, you know what? Phoenix-wise, I'm doing good because we actually have a coach. Chicago Bulls-wise, I'm scratching my head, but I don't want to talk badly about anybody, so I'm going to let that one go.
Yeah. I mean, but to be honest with you, I hear that the people there really like him. Like the players, after a while, they started to realize that he was a good coach for them. That's what they say.
We shall see. I just have as much, you know, faith and guard packs as I did in the captain of the Titanic. Because it hasn't been good for a while.
Well, but, you got Monty, right?
You know what? That's the upside. That is the upside. And you know what? It's good to have a coach. And one of the things that I remember at the Igor dismissal press conference, if you want to say it, you know, I asked, you know, if they were looking for a coach with experience. And the comeback that I got was experience is a plus. And we know Monty has experience. We know what kind of person he is. You talk to him, you deal with him. What are the Suns getting in Monty Williams?
I mean, first of all, they're getting a great person. And they're also getting a coach. I mean, here's the thing about Monty. So Monty took over the New Orleans Pelicans. You know, they had the number one overall draft pick in Anthony Davis. So he takes, you know, he's coaching that team. And what did he do? He led them to the playoffs twice. Well, they couldn't get out of the first round, so people are saying, hey, well, maybe we need to get another coach, someone to upgrade us. So they fire Monty, and New Orleans hasn't really been a – I mean, they've been to the playoffs, but, you know, come on now. They haven't been like – they didn't get any better than they were when they were with him. Now, they might have had a better record, but their fate was still the same. So I feel like that he's the type of guy who – he was a young coach then – like, if he would have stayed in New Orleans, I feel like they would be in better shape than they are right now. Secondly, he said he learned a lot from being fired. He learned that, you know, it was one of those situations where he learned from his mistakes. You know, he was humbled and he learned, you know, how to move on and become and go to the next level as regards as coaching. So he's going to be missed in Philadelphia.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line right here on the Cave Show with PLR, the one, the only, Keith Pompey, Sixers beat writer for Philly Inquirer and Philly.com. So the one thing that I know about young players, and as you just said about the Bulls with Boylan, the young players really buy in. What do you think the Suns have a better chance, and the players like a Booker and Aiden, that he's going to have their ear more than a rookie head coach would? You think that's a possibility?
I mean, I think so. I mean, the thing is, like, you know, he played. I mean, he actually played. I mean, he's a guy, you know, I mean, let's think about it. He was a player. He was an assistant coach. He was a head coach. He was a front office exec, you know, because he did the front office thing for the Spurs. So, you know, he can go in there and talk to them, you know, about things that most people can't. Because let's face it, I mean, a lot of guys, you know, after they're done playing, some of them want to aspire to be like that. They want to be a coach. They want to be a front office guy. So he can sit down and talk to it. And here's another thing. Like, Monty is a great guy. You know, he's not the type of dude that you're going to hear stories about players saying, I don't like Coach Williams. you know, he's a jerk. Nah, he's a guy that, you know, people gravitate towards. So I think that's what's going to help him. And he's been here before. He's the type of person. He's the type of person who, basically, you know, been through a rebuild. You know, so they know that he sent the team to the playoffs. These other guys, right. They were coming in and they were just nose wide open, just like the players. You know, he coached Anthony Davis. You know, so he'll be fine.
That's going to be a big loss for you guys. And then just switching up, Philadelphia took it to Toronto, and Jimmy Butler looked like he hit a couple shots last night, and it made me think of Paul Pierce when he was in Washington. Like, this is why I'm here. Has he really taken over the leadership of this team in the playoffs to be like that guy they can say, this is why he's here?
Yep. You know, it's funny because, you know, Joel Embiid is the best player on the team. Jimmy Butler is the team's leader. And I know a lot of people are saying, Jimmy Butler leading the team? Yes, he's the team's leader. He's been sacrificing some things. He comes in and he makes big shots when he has to. Like, his goal, his number one goal is to make sure that J.J. Redick and Tobias Harris get involved. That's his goal. And then after he feels like everybody else is involved, then he starts looking for his own shot. You know, he is the alpha dog in the locker room.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line, one of the only key. So I gotta ask you this. He's a Philly guy, went to Villanova. What happens to Kyle Lowry every time the playoff starts? At this point, is it just mental?
I don't know. I mean, it could be. I mean, it could be that. Or I think that Kyle is one of those guys who plays with so much energy during the regular season. Like, he's always giving 100%. He could wear it in. I mean, I've heard that before where some people feel like, you know what I mean, he gives so much during the regular season that he wears down. And also, this is kind of like a bad matchup for him. I mean, you look at the 76ers, they're huge. They're tall. You know, J.J. Redick is the smallest guy in the starting lineup. I mean, he's the only guy below 6'8". He's 6'4". And when you have Kyle guarding him, Kyle's, what, 6 foot? But he's actually matched up against Ben. So it's just a tough matchup for him. Just a really tough matchup.
You've been around basketball forever, and I know that you're a historian of the game, too. This is one thing I cannot understand, though. We have load management rest, we have all this stuff when the playoffs start so everyone can be fresh. What happened in the old days when guys didn't get load management rest and then the playoffs started, it was more physical and they seemed to be fine? Or am I imagining that?
Nah, you're not imagining it. It's kind of like, I mean, I'm not saying people got soft, but, you know, it's kind of like sometimes, you know, sometimes when you become really, really smart, you start overthinking things. You know what I mean? Saying like, oh, we're playing them too many minutes. And I think that's what happens. You know, and then it used to be a pride type of thing. Like, if you showed up to a game and you weren't playing, you know, people would criticize you. Like, what, are you soft? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now people are like, hey, it is what it is. He has to, like, help himself. And, like, I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of the load management stuff started with the Spurs. When, you know, they would go places, and the next thing you know, Tim Duncan and them wouldn't play games, Manu Ginobili. And what happened, you know, for them, you know, they were well-rested in the postseason, and they won some of their championships because of that. So I think that has a lot to do with the teams are seeing that.
Yeah, that just – honestly, that really gets me. Every time I hear that, I'm like, I don't remember these old guys resting like that. I never remember Kareem getting a load management day. Just don't remember it. And he played till he was 68. So it is what it is. But listen, I said I was only going to keep you for a minute. I'm about to let you jump. But I got to ask you this. And you know I'm about to mess with you on this. Daniel Jones, man. For real.
Hey, you know what? It's funny, man. I was sitting there watching the draft, Because you know I'm a diehard Giants fan. So
diehard.
I was sitting there watching the draft with my wife. And, like, I'm telling them, yeah, baby. I tell my wife, yeah, baby. When they draft people, they typically, you could tell because they're on the phones. So, they went to the quarterback from Ohio State. And my wife says, well, how come he's not talking on the phone? And I'm like, huh? I'm like, yo, I thought it was a dream, man. I woke up the next morning like, what did they do?
You're the first person I thought of too. I was like, I'm not even gonna, you know what? I'm not even gonna mess with them and text them. I'm just gonna wait, and when we catch up, I just gotta ask them, what is Gettleman doing to him?
Yo, man, I had some of the Sixers texting me clowning me. Like, really, dude? Really? You know what I mean? You know, I was about to shut down my Facebook for a couple of days.
Well, I have restraint. I waited till now, but that's all I got to say. For real, Daniel Jones, y'all replaced Eli Manning with Eli Manning.
They hope. They hope.
You know
what I mean? I mean, they placed Eli Manning with Eli Manning's replacement's backup.
Well, you can say this. When Eli starts getting sacked and throwing the balls everywhere, no one will be booing and wanting him to get put in.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, you're right.
There's upside. If you had Haskins and Eli have a couple of those games, everybody's screaming for Haskins. Nobody will be screaming for Daniel Jones. So, you got Eli. You're good.
Okay. Oh, I know, right? All right. I hope that's good. I'm hating you right now.
All right, bro. Hey, listen, if we won't catch up before, I'll see you in Vegas.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
All right, cool. All right, hey, listen, with short notice, thank you again, bro.
All right. Anytime, man. Peace.
All right, now. I'll talk to you later. That's the one only Keith Pompey. Why did I say that again? Keith Pompey, Sixers beat writer. I can't speak on Friday. It isn't even happy hour. That is the one, the only Keith Pompey, Sixers beat writer for the Philly Inquirer and Philly.com. That's my man, dude. He is such a Giants fan. And the first thing I thought of was Dan Jones when he got drafted. I was about to light him up, but I just couldn't do it. Well, you heard it from him. He's been around Monty for, since he's been with the Sixers. And he just told you, Suns did well. Suns did very well. The one thing that I think in every market, and everyone's going to see this, except LA, because, of course, they're going to spin this and say, well, we wanted Ty Lue to begin with. Everyone knows and everyone's hearing the same reports and everyone is hearing the same things. Right now, there's not one person with more insight basically than anyone else that's hearing something extraordinarily different. Half the room wanted Monty, half the room wanted Tyronn Lue. Well, the half that wanted Monty, that's out. He's here. Because this is a better, in my opinion, this is a better roster. It is easier to add a vet to this team because let's say the Suns win 35 games next year. That is a big improvement. Let's say they don't go to the playoffs. And see, I disagree with a lot of people saying all the fans want is a competitive team. I think the fans want the playoffs. So you want a competitive team for a while, but the fans want to make the playoffs. But let's say they win 35 games. Feel better about themselves. Let's say they do something crazy like make the playoffs. It'll be like hitting a grand slam down here. But in LA, and even though Magic did and Rob did a good job of clearing out some money, getting rid of some of those contracts, the Luol Deng contract, the big center Moskov, I think I pronounced his name correctly, getting rid of all that stuff, done a great job with doing that, got some great young talent. But if you run back and look like this, if you run the Lakers back this year, with Magic. I'm sorry, with LeBron, with Brandon Ingram, with Lonzo, with Kyle Kuzma, with whoever they get as a free agent. And let's just say it's not a big name free agent. Say they don't land a big free agent. At their worst, we call what it is. It's a playoff team. I know injuries, injuries, injuries. But this team still, when LeBron came back, had an opportunity to make the playoffs, and they were not that far out. See, everyone is acting like when LeBron came back, the Lakers were 30 games out. See, down in Houston, where they have Chris Paul and James Harden and those guys, when they were out, when Chris Paul was hurt, when Clint Capella was hurt, James was scoring 70 points a game, keeping Houston in it. He brought them from a 14 seed up to a 4 seed. But see, nobody wants to talk about that when we compare the Lakers. All we want to talk about is the injuries to everybody and how they didn't do this and how everyone didn't play together and how they didn't do that. See, it's funny how Lonzo Ball can't do anything, and he probably should be the one to go if LeBron's going to have the ball in his hand. So now he's being hurt to say, oh, well, we missed his defense. So let's just say in comparison, which let me circle back around to where I was going. Let's say the Lakers make the playoffs and they get eliminated in the first round. Is that really a good year? If you're one of the top players in the game, a team is making it to the playoffs and getting eliminated, really a good year? I mean, if the Lakers had got to the playoffs this year and they went in as an 8 seed, do you really think they were going to beat Golden State? And see, the difference is, I think a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 6 years, getting to the playoffs is a win. But when you're a Laker, that's not a win. And if you become the head coach of the Lakers, you have to deal with a whole bunch of other stuff that you don't have to deal with in Phoenix. And I know in Phoenix you have to deal with an owner. I understand that. But in L.A., you got to deal with a whole lot more. You have to deal with an aging superstar who is still one of the top players, who's still going to demand a certain amount of cachet, who you know deep down really doesn't want to play with a bunch of young guys, that wants an established veteran superstar. And if, let's say they get one. Let's say a free agent decides to go there. But let's say it's not one of the top-tier free agents. Say it's not a Durant or a Jimmy Butler, or one of the top flights. Say you bring in Kemba Walker. What do you do with Zoe? And don't give me that positionless basketball crap. What do you do with Zoe? Because now you got LeBron, who needs the ball in his hands, and miss me with that. He's looking forward to playing without the ball, because we saw that he's not playing without the basketball. You got Kemba, who people say can play off, and he can for a while, but you know what? Kemba's been on the ball a lot with Carolina, with Charlotte. And then you have Lonzo, who is plain and simple has had the ball in his hands, can't shoot. So, I don't know. I think it's a better job. And I think the Suns made the right move, got the right guy. They did the right thing. Oh, and yes, there will be a Monty Williams article up at sportscave.com. And it was with the K. So, stay tuned for that. Baseball. So, I'm miffed here. And I know there's a long way to go. I know there's 131 baseball games left. I'm not crazy. I know that. But Dodgers have a high payroll. San Diego spent a lot of money on players. Yankees All-stars everywhere you look. Bats everywhere. Austin, bats everywhere. And they're recovering, just so you know. The Cubs spend a lot of money. They can have bats everywhere. It's one of the World Series a couple years ago. Diamondbacks are supposed to suck. They let arguably their best pitcher go. Arguably their best hitter and face of the franchise go. A.J. Pollock, let him go. This team was supposed to be the worst team in the Western Division. This team is one win away and one Dodger loss away from having the best record and being in first place in the National League West. And I love the way they're doing it. It's a bunch of guys that are proving to you, night in and night out, that they belong. That it doesn't matter what else happens. They're going to show up and play hard every single night. When they take the field, they are a bunch of dogs out there proving to you that they all belong and that every naysayer that has said anything about them is going to be wrong. From Peralta to Marte to Adam Jones to Nick Ahmed, who might be the best defensive shortstop in the game, to Escobar, the person that's really impressing me a lot, a lot is Walker over at first base, who's filling in, mind you, and playing his butt off. Christian Walker's playing his butt off. So imagine what this team is going to look like when Jake Lamb comes back healthy. Jake Lamb's only played 5 games. Through 29 games, Christian Walker, 7 home runs, 15 RBI, and he's hitting 308. That's the fill-in. Escobar, over at third base, 17 runs scored, 5 home runs, batting .292. This team, I'm telling you, is just a bunch of dogs out there balling out. Gerard Dyson, who didn't have the best batting average last year, in .299. As a team, they're batting .263. It is hard not to love this team. If you're a Diamondback fan, if you're a baseball fan, you need to get out there. I love how every year everyone gets on Zach Greinke. Oh, I don't know if he's worth the money. Oh, I don't know if he's a frontline pitcher. Oh, I don't know. Look at his ERA. ERA isn't as good as it should be. I remember when his ERA was under 2. I remember when his ERA was 2. Well, you know what? His ERA now is 3.27. But you know what else? He's 5-1. Oh, maybe you didn't hear me. He's 5-1. Seven starts, 6 quality starts. Out of all the pitchers on the Diamondbacks roster right now, he has more quality starts, more than 2 times the quality starts of anyone else on this roster right now. And the other guys are being bulldogs. So you kind of miss me, everyone, with that nonsense of telling me how good the Dodgers are and telling me how surprised you are – with the Padres and every market outside of Phoenix. Look at what the D-backs are doing. Open your eyes and see what else is going on. Football here. Okay, so here's why I don't believe general managers should do a lot of talking. So on one radio show, we have the Cardinals general manager saying that Kyler Murray is the day one starter. You didn't draft him at number one to not be the starter. You have your head coach on another radio station saying, well, Brett Hundley's done a really good job. We bring him in here just for the sake of being here. You know, we want to see what he has. Nothing's been decided yet with Kyler Murray, yada, yada, yada. Coach, you knew what your general manager said. Hey, Kai, you do know what your coach just said. You guys might want to get on the same page before you do those interviews. And here's why I say that. Everyone and their grandmother knows Kyler Murray is going to be starting quarterback, barring injury, barring anything unforeseen, day one when the season opens and the games count. We all know that. As a head coach, I think what you're trying to accomplish is making sure everyone works for their job. And I think what Kingery is trying to do is make sure that everyone competes the same way and not just give in knowing that Murray is the starter. Now, also, though, this is big boy football now. And I'm quite aware that Hundley knows he's not going to be starting over the number one draft pick. I think Brad Hundley knows that already. So, Kyler Murray's your starter. Just announce it. Your GM already did. It's a done deal. The man is starting. He will be the starter of this team. And well, he should. Listen, these aren't the old days anymore, people. This isn't the Jeff Fisher football where you draft a guy and sit him for 2 years. And then for the next 2 years, you let him hand the ball off 40 times a game. There's a reason Jeff Fisher doesn't coach in the NFL anymore. Because he didn't adapt to the change. And you can say, well, look what happened in Kansas City. Well, they had an opportunity because they had the luxury of having Alex Smith for a year for Patrick Mahomes to be under. But as soon as that year was up, Alex Smith was a Redskin. Baker Mayfield played. Darnold played. The kid up in Buffalo played. You play your number one pick. You have him under cost control for 4 years. You're going to play him. It's just that simple. It is just that simple. I just hope that they all get on the same page. So you don't have one guy on one show saying one thing and one guy on another show saying something completely different. So a couple NBA games tonight. Still got Denver. I think Denver has to get one in Portland. I still got Boston. I do. Not off Toronto, although I'm getting the feeling I may end up being wrong. Kyle Lowry, man, dude, milk carton. Good Lord, give Kawhi some help. Just a little bit. Oh, well. We'll see. And if Houston wins game three, they're right back in the series. The hell they are. It snowed in Phoenix this year. That does not make the city of Phoenix a wintertime snow oasis. Houston is good enough to win one game, maybe two. Golden State is the best team in the NBA. And barring any injury, Golden State has their focus. See, everyone talks about switch on, switch off, switch on, switch off, switch on, get her switch back on. Whatever. It's not as much of a switch as it's focus, and it's focus to detail. And we know Golden State sometimes loses focus in a game. Hell, they had 5 turnovers in the fourth quarter, which allowed Houston to get back in the game. But Houston never got the lead back. See, when the playoffs start, that's when KD and Steph and Clay and Green and Iguodala, the focus level goes up. It's not that it was off. It goes up. Playing Indiana on the road in January is not going to get the same focus that you're going to get playing Houston in May. Should it? Yes. When you won 3 out of 4, it is hard to get up as high as the team that just beating you sometimes is the best part of their season. See, if Golden State loses to Phoenix, yes, I'm picking on a team I cover, but if Golden State loses to Phoenix in March, Phoenix fans say, ah, we got you. Golden State fans say, well, hopefully Steve let the guys rest a little bit tonight so that way they can be ready. See, there's a difference. So I'm anxious to see this game tomorrow. Bucks fans, don't at me. Boston still is going to beat you. Bucks fans, don't text me. I'm talking to a buddy of mine. Because he's going to text me anyway. Boston still is going to beat you. Anyway, it's a basketball weekend. That's all I know. Which means that I'll be watching a lot of hoops. Monday, Suns writer, the man himself, covers the Suns. Joe Borghe, he'll be joining us on Monday to talk about this hiring, the Suns, and where they are. Looking forward to that. This song is playing, so you know it's the weekend. Oh, I'm about to get loose. I'm about to shake some. The Sports Cave. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook fan page. Cave is always with the K. SportsCave.com. Cave is always with the K. Again, you can find us right there. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook fan page. SportsCave.com. Check out as well. Cave is always with the K. And you can get me on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Thanks to Keith Pompey, Sixers beat writer for Philly Inquiring. Philly.com for joining us today via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Thank you, callers. Call in via the Kerry Lackey Law Line as well. Until next time, this has been the Cave Show. This is PLR. Everyone, enjoy your weekend, and we'll be right back here on Monday. Take care.